Well, I'm going to start. This will be a brief introduction to the retreat that's coming this week. I think about a year ago we decided on the topic for this retreat, the mind that seeks the way. And ever since that time, I've spent the past year reading. Normally, I try to read the Dharma every morning while I have my morning cup of tea. So, you know, what's that, maybe 15 minutes? You'd be surprised how much you can get through. And I was reading particular books to prepare for this retreat, just as inspiration, not information so much, but looking at different ways people think about the practice that we do, and especially that particular aspect, the mind that seeks the way. That another way of saying the mind that seeks to the way comes from Great Master Dogen's chapter in the Shobo Genzo called Genjo Ko on Reverend Master Jiyu translated the title as The Problem of Everyday Life. And I'm sure you've run into this many times. He says, to study Buddhism is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by all things. And early on it occurred to me that to study Buddhism is to study the self. That's the same as talking about the mind that is the mind that seeks the way. To study the self is to forget the self. The mind that seeks, the mind that is seeking, is focused on the practices that we do. The single-minded concentration on our precious self kind of dissolves a bit when we're looking elsewhere. And of course, to forget the self is to become enlightened by all things. That's the way that we're talking about. I wrote these down so that I would remember everybody who you're going to hear about. I read these books, and what I did was just, if something really struck me, I just made a note of the page it was on and then just kept going. I didn't stop and write things. Later, I went back and collected up all the things. And what I'm trying to do during this retreat, I'll be talking for the first 3 days on basically the teachings of Dogen as they've been passed down to us through the years. And I'll be taking thoughts from the teachers that I'm going to mention in a moment and weaving them together. Every once in a while, I'll read something and I'll tell you who said it. But by and large, I'm using the lovely way that various people have been describing things. I found it wonderful to note that all of the teachers that whose names I'm going to read now, there's remarkable unity in how the Dharma is presented. We're all Soto Zen, and our flavor just doesn't matter which book you pick up, the Soto Zen flavor is there. So of course, starting with Dogen, I read a few chapters of Dogen and I discovered that in Shobo Genzo, I think someone said that there are 13 of the 90-something chapters that are just devoted to the mind. I didn't read them all, but one piece of one I'll share with you during the week. Next, I looked at our own particular lineage from Reverend Master Jiyu and monks who have trained with her, and I read her commentary on some of the Shobo Genzo chapters from Roar of the Tigress, the second volume. Reverend Master Daizui, who many of you may remember, he died what, I don't know, 13 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. He wrote a remarkable book called Buddhism from Within. And it's a wonderful book for someone who doesn't even know what Buddhism is, for someone who's just starting, and then for all the old timers too. River Master Daishin Morgan, who was the abbot at Throssell for many, many years until just recently, wrote another wonderful book called Buddha Recognizes Buddha. And I've used quite a bit of his teaching in these talks. The other lineage that I looked at, for those of you who've read Wild White Goose, River Master Jiyu's diary of her time training in Japan, you may remember that at some point her master sent her to visit an old monk who he sent her there for the monk to have a look at her and certify her understanding. His name was Sawaki Kodo. And there's a beautiful little book called The Zen Teachings of Homeless Kodo. And I use that quite a lot. And it's interesting because you not only get Sawaki Kodo, his disciple did a commentary on the book. And that disciple's disciple, who's contemporary with us, did the translation. So we get their whole lineage right in one little book. I also looked at The Wholehearted Way, Opening the Hand of Thought, which is a book by Uchiyama Roshi, Sawaki Kodo's disciple. And the last one is Shohaku Okamura's book, Living by Vow. All wonderful books. If you are a reader, I can recommend any and all of them. I'll be giving talks the next 3 days. The first day, well, we're talking about the mind that seeks the way. So tomorrow we'll be talking about the mind. What is the mind? Everyday mind, Buddha nature, all of those different ways of looking at mind. And the fact that they are not two. It's one unified mind, which I suppose you could say operates with different aspects of our practice, but we'll talk about mind. The second day we'll talk about seeking, how we actually go about seeking the way. And the last day we'll be talking about the way we live and the way we seek and the unity of our practice and what actually is the way. If you think about it, the way is, you can think of it as seeking enlightenment. You can also think of the way as the way we train, the way we practice every day. So I like to think maybe it's supposed to be both and maybe more than that too. Let's see. Oh, and the last thing I wanted to say, I'm going to read this. You know, I'm sure all of you have been out to the stupa at least once and perhaps many, many times. But I was out sitting there this morning, and I'd really suggest that it's nice if you could spend a little time out there with River Master Jiyu during this week. And when you're out there, take the time to just contemplate what is engraved on the south side. So it's the side that faces that direction. Because it certainly describes what we're going to be talking about this whole week. She says, if life comes, there is only life. If death comes, there is only death. All acceptance is the key that unlocks the gateless gate. Within this place, there is no suffering, no coming, no going, no ceasing, no way. There is only endless training, appearing here, disappearing there, going in and out, always becoming Buddha. So thank you.
Hello. I don't see many familiar faces here, but I hope to get to know you during the week. As Reverend Master Ondo said, I was at Throssell in England for 15 years and came back to the States about 7 years ago and have been in Eugene. My teacher is Reverend Master Dyson Morgan. I'm going in a bit of a different direction when I begin my talks. Ultimately, no, but I'm looking at the writing of Shantideva, who was an Indian monk who lived in the 7th and 8th centuries. And he was sort of a ne'er-do-well as a monk. He wasn't particularly liked. He didn't follow the schedule. He didn't show up when he was supposed to show up. And I'll say a bit more about him in my first talk. But he surprised everybody because the monks wanted to sort of put him on the spot, and they asked him to give a talk at the monastery, which was one of the more important talks. And, you know, their attitude was, he's going to be humiliated, and maybe he'll start practicing, you know, maybe he'll start training. And he came out, and he did a talk that's now called The Way of the Bodhisattva. And it's a piece of work that is still studied and followed today. It's very important in Tibetan Buddhism. They do ceremonies during the week related to his teaching. But we also see it in Zen. You know, it will come up in various places that people are reading it and teaching about it. And what he's doing in The Way of the Bodhisattva is he is saying, this is my practice, and I know it's difficult, but so far it has worked for me. And I really want to give this to you. You know, this practice is my gift to you, and this is how you do it. You know, this is basically his attitude. And part of this is his belief that we all can do this. You know, that nobody is separate from Buddha nature, nobody is separate from the truth. And when I look at the mind that seeks the way, I look at the way of the Bodhisattva, because this is a step along the way, or it's part of the way of the Bodhisattva. And he's mainly looking at, it's a fairly long scripture. I certainly won't be able to speak about all of it, but he's interested in looking at, he also talks about the mind, and one of his central teachings is about how we tame the mind, and why is the mind so difficult to tame, and that will be one of my talks, that'll be the second talk that I give. He's always looking at what trips us up, and how can we sort of work through these things that trip us up. And basically what's tripping us up is what I think of as me, me, me. Me first. That's what trips us up. And he gives us clues as to how to get through that and pass that, so that we're not always tripped up by the self. The first talk I'm giving will be on intention, and that's where he begins as well. He talks about how important intention is. if you have the mind that seeks the way. And then he goes on to stress that intention is actually not enough, that we need to follow it with action. So, you know, initially I will be talking about intention and action. When I go into that, depending on how time goes, I may do a little detour into the Diamond Sutra, because I'm not sure how we can speak about intention without speaking a little bit about the Diamond Sutra, which is basically about intention, or it's certainly one of the central themes. And then my last talk will be about what is called the seven prayers or the seven practices. And these are not, these didn't come with Shantideva. He's looking back at the teachings of the Buddha. And he's saying, these seven practices are what keep us on the right path, of what help us to not get tripped up in the self, not get tripped up in greed, hatred, and delusion. And they're practices that I think you will know. And I'll say a bit about them. And when you look at them, they all, when I look at them, what I see is they all are encouraging us to drop the self. That's one of the main things the practices are about. They also encourage us to look at gratitude, to look at what we have rather than what we don't have. There is a book in the shop called No Time to Lose, and it's a book by Pema Chodron that some of you may be familiar with. And I've used the same translation that she uses. It's her commentary on the way of the Bodhisattva. And I'll be, you know, I quote her at times and, you know, go off and look at a couple of other things as well. I feel that it's interesting to me because I, like Reverend Master Serena, I'm very taken with the teachers in Soto Zen, particularly Okamura, who has been a guide to me for a long time. And when you go to somebody like Shantideva, the language is sometimes difficult, although I find the translation quite beautiful. And I try to, when I'm quoting him, I try to use the language, you know, his language that is quite beautiful, and to point that out. It takes a bit of getting used to. I'll try to read it slowly enough that you can absorb it. But it's like poetry, you know, it's actually quite beautiful. And what he's saying is very simple and very optimistic, you know, in his outlook. It's, you know, particularly for our times now, it's basically a message of we can do this, and this is what's getting in our way, and this is how we can overcome what's getting in our way. So it's very practical. That's one of the things I like about it. So I think you know, what Reverend Master Serena is doing and what I am speaking about will dovetail together very nicely. And I look forward to spending the time with you and talking about these things.